mediocrity is their meat.
That's true, and thanks to Richard Sunderland for putting it into word form.
The Dead Kennedys and Kill the Four.
Yeah.
When I was about 15 and I heard this, it inspired me to want to grow up and write blistering, polemical, political satire. But then I met Rich and I realised that jokes about chew bars and pants were where the real money was.
Yeah, that's true.
So I just sort of gave
up. I like the Dead Kennedys before you did. You
no, you didn't.
Sarcastic. Yeah. Not allowed to say twat.
If I'm the atmosphere today, if it's the liberals, it's okay. So let's get the students away tonight. Oh, I'll make kill the poor. Kill the poor. Kill the poor tonight. Kill the poor. Kill the poor. Kill the poor tonight.
This song by a group named after the Dead Kennedys, because there's some Kennedys who are dead, so it's clever. But this curse of the Kennedys has struck again, hasn't it? With Rose Kennedy died a couple of weeks ago.
Rose Kennedy was 104 years old, Rich.
Still, they all die, don't they? All of them.
Yeah, eventually. Natural causes. As Gordon Kennedy, as well, of course, he's lived a cursed life, ending up doing the National Lottery.
He hasn't died. How ironic and unfair.
No,
we've got another call coming in from Stuart Ross. Hi, Stu.
Hi.
What's your crap sitcom idea?
Debenham Sale. It's about the Debenhams family on a world yachting journey and all the mishaps and adventures they get up to.
That's the best one so far.
What kind of adventures do you think they might get up to?
I don't know.
That's why we're copywriters in the meeting, and you just go, I don't know. Well done, Stuart. Thanks
good
a lot.
Effort.
They're very
thanks.
Good.
Last week, you'll remember if you were listening, I told you that I had been fined by London Underground Transport, and I asked you to write in and say if you thought I should pay the fine or not, but without giving you any of the information about whether I was guilty.
It was a satire of the tabloids.
But now I can tell you what I did was I went to the tube station and there wasn't a man there because he'd gone to the toilet or something, and I had to get to meet someone really quickly, so I just went through without getting a ticket. Then I tried to pay at the other end, in all honesty, and they went, no, that's changed now, you have to pay a £10 fine.
Yeah.
And people decided, without knowing that, people said that I should pay the fine, and nine people said that I shouldn't.
That doesn't seem fair, you paying, does it?
No.
That shows how false these systems can be, doesn't it?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm just not going to pay it. Because, I mean, how are they going to track me down? I'm going to move in May, and they're not going to be able to track me down.
Yeah, we'll be on television every Thursday night at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I better pay it then.
Well, I'll tell you what, because nine people each way, but pay half of it.
I'll pay half
See what happens.
Seems fair.
We'll let you know if we find out next
week. As a possibility, now it's time for us to take a look at this week's hobby with Simon Quinlank.
Hello once more. It is I, Simon Quinlank, the Managing Director of Hobbies PLC. I am speaking to your brains by way of your ears again to tell you of another hobby you might like to try if you really like hobbies and want to make hobbies your full-time occupation. What you will need for this hobby...
A dingy basement room, preferably in the centre of a large capital city.
A picture of a bare lady cut out of the sun.
A flask of weak lemon drink.
And a suit like Huggy Bear used to wear on Starsky and Hutch.
This is a good hobby to do if you already have a lot of expensive hobbies and are looking for a hobby which will not only be a hobby but also a way of funding your other non-money-making or money-losing hobbies. This hobby is called running a pretend sex club and overcharging gullible businessmen and public schoolboys for drinking in the pretend sex club. How to do this hobby. Put on the suit like Huggy Bear used to wear on Starsky and Hutch and stand in the doorway which leads down to your dingy room. Stick the picture of the bear lady from the Sun by the door, and when gullible businessmen or public schoolboys pass by, point at the picture, winking at them and pointing down the stairs. Hey, you, gullible businessman.
Yes?
Would you like to see the bear lady in this picture, but real?
Yes, I would.
Then come down into this dingy room. It is only 10p to get in and see her.
That sounds very reasonable. Here you are.
Take the gullible businessman into the dingy room and ask him if he'd like a drink. Would you like a drink, gullible businessman?
Oh, yes, please. Could I have a beer?
No, I don't have any.
Oh, wine then, please.
No. All I've got is this flask of weak lemon drink. I can pour you a cupful into the plastic cup on the top.
Oh, all right, thank you. Where's the bear lady you promised I could see?
When the gullible businessman asks to see the bear lady, you must go into the next room and get a full human-sized blow-up of the bear lady picture which you have mounted on card. Then, at all times, keeping behind the picture, go into the dingy room and make the photo dance around. You must make sure the room is very dingy so that the gullible businessman does not realise that the bear lady is just a full human-sized picture. When the picture has danced for 1 minute, dance the picture out of the room, remembering that she will have to dance out backwards, as, if you turn round, the gullible businessman will see it is just you, unless you make the room incredibly dingy. Then, put down the full human-sized picture and return into the dingy room as yourself. Did you enjoy that, gullible businessman?
Yes, my favourite bit was seeing that lady, Bear. Nice.
Good. That's it. Your bill for your weak lemon drink comes to £500 exactly.
£500? I'm not paying that. That lemon drink was so weak it only tasted like slightly acidic water anyway.
You have to pay me. Otherwise, I will tell your mum that you looked at a bear lady.
Here you are. You won't tell my mum, will you?
When the businessman has left, note on your hobby chart that you have fooled one gullible businessman and or public schoolboy. See how many gullible businessmen and or public schoolboys you could fool and write the number down in your hobby book. If you fool 6 gullible businessmen in an hour, you are also earning £3,000 an hour, minus the expense of 6 cups of weak lemon drink, which equals 5p. This could be used to fund more adventurous hobbies, such as going to places mentioned in songs and then singing the song in which the place is mentioned, e.g. 42nd Street or ferry across the Mersey. Also, sometimes the businessmen are so upset that their mums might be told that they have looked at a bear lady that they forget to drink their weak lemon drink, which means that you can drink the weak lemon drink they have left. See you next week for my final hobby this time.
Lee and Herring, 1 minute of serious discussion, 59 minutes of meaningless talk.
Thanks to Clara and Angela from Harefield Hospital Radio for putting that together. It's good.
Yeah, they gave it to us like by hand on a specially prepared cart, so thanks
nice
for that.
Right, coming up now, this is Eternal, featuring Louise from Eternal,
obviously,
featured in this band. This is their song, which I think is probably the best song of the 90s, if not the best song ever. It's called Oh Baby I. Listen to it, it's really lovely.
I feel the touch of your hand, and I understand how much I need your love. You have given me wings, and
Rich.
Yeah.
A word.
Watch.
Why are we playing this?
Because you know, it's really good.
Well, it isn't, though, is it?
No, well, the reason is because I've got a hidden agenda. I think if Louise from Eternal hears me putting this on and saying it's really good, then maybe she'll be really pleased, and then she'll get out of me.
Well, what if she doesn't, though?
Well, then there's a second backup plan. Then if Kel from Eternal hears this, then maybe she'll be really pleased and she'll get out of me.
Well, I don't think that's going to work with either.
Well, no, if it doesn't, then maybe Esther will, and she'll like it.
But it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, none of those three are going to get out of you. What are you going to do then?
Well, I don't really want to get out with the other one anyway, so...
But this is terrible. It's terrible, Rich.
Yeah,
it really
doesn't sound that good now. It's odd, because when I watched it on the video on MTV at the gym, it seemed really good. But
why is that?
I don't know. Now you've taken away sort of all the girls looking a bit sweaty and touching each other in a funny way. It doesn't seem as good.
It's rubbish. I'm sorry to scupper your plan.
But the thing is, if we don't play it right now, then my plan won't work. I won't be able to get out with any of them.
Perhaps you can go out with one of the girls in Gorky's Zygotic Monkey instead, Rich.
No, because there's the language barrier there. Welsh, I wouldn't be able to understand. I could only be able to say some barbed wire.
Not enough, is it? I've had enough, to be honest.
They do write their own stuff, at least.
Do they?
No, they don't.
Right. Turn it off, Cora. I'd rather... Can we hear something else? I'll tell you what, Chris, put on the tape of those shouting girls.
We're all going to an all-girls school. We've got attitude. We think we're cool.
I want a nanny plant. Scarier than... Right Roger Mann is to get on the radio, shout till our fuses blow.
We're shitty teenage girls, we'll shout until we howl.
This song's a bit crap, but we won't take the rap because we're frothing at the brain, totally insane. Because we're so repressed, we're getting quite depressed.
My throat's getting sore and this song is getting bored.
Oh, shouting.
That's the bit they're embarrassed they sent that in now. Thanks to Carrie, Rhiannon, and Laura and Kay for that.
Hey.
And don't forget to call in if you've got rubbish sitcom ideas on 0713060222.
Good, and someone who's done just that is John Walker. Hiya.
Hello.
What's your crap sitcom, John?
It's called Back of the Queue.
Oh, yeah? What happens in that?
It's the comedy adventures of the microscopic bacteria that live on the back of the former James Bond character.
That's very good indeed. Yeah, thank good you one. Very yeah. much.
Well, that's pushing that Debenhams one, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Pete, drug news, or whatever it was you were doing.
Yeah, some of the fake drugs.
Yeah.
Is you can get the effect of smoking the drug cannabis by climbing into a hot bath and smoking a cigarette, then you stand up in the bath really suddenly to make yourself feel dizzy. Like cannabis makes you feel, apparently.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do is you can walk into the Bedford pub on Bedford Hill in Ballon and go up to the huge man with like a bright red sort of face who usually sells papers outside the tube station.
Yeah.
And he goes sort of, if you haven't got the right change when you buy your paper.
Yeah.
And what you do is you look at him and you tell him he's a twat. And this will create the common drug effect of having to be rushed suddenly to hospital.
Oh, I see.
We're not allowed to say twat on the radio.
Don't
say it all the time.
Yeah. Another thing is to make your own hallucinations by cutting some shapes out of coloured paper and waving them in front of your face and imagining they're not really there. Or you could go out into the yard and look over the fence at next door's rabbit and sort of imagine that it's not a rabbit, but it's the old lady who lives there, but she's turned into a rabbit. Because you're on drugs.
Yeah. Well, rather than take drugs, kids, why not eat some chews? Because they're much better and they're nicer colours and they're bigger than most drugs as well. And a lot cheaper. And we've had the chew votes have been thrown wide open by Dave Heffron's English class, who've put a block vote in. We'll give you now the worst drugs, top four.
Chews.
Worst chews. Third worst chew bar is Dennis the Menace with 2 votes. Second worst is Black Jack's with 7 votes. But the worst chew bar is the Wham bar with a massive 30 votes.
That's so far. And Kevin, you've got the best.
Yeah, let's get positive here. And here are the best chew bars in descending order. And equal third are the Stinger and Wham chew bars with 5 votes. Second is the Chomp chew bar with 17 votes. Mm. And it's coming from nowhere with 23 votes. It's number one. It's the McCowan's Chocolate Highland Toffee bar, number one.
There are only 3 more days of polling to go. You must get your votes in by Thursday. Next week, we're going to ring up the best and the worst chew bars and manufacturers and make them happy or sad about what they've done. So get them in, maybe get your class, English class or whatever to vote.
Or perhaps your workmates, if you're over 12 years old, you could get your workmates to vote for their favourite chews. Maybe do that.
Yeah. So anyway, now Adam and the Ants with his haunting melody, Stand and Deliver.
I remember when I was about 12, we all hated this because it was what girls liked. But actually, if you listen to it, in retrospect, it is really good.
Yeah.
Due to a childhood accident in a stationery shop, Pop Ant Adam Ant spent the first 24 years of his life with a strip of masking tape stuck to his ant face. It was not until he saw himself on TV that he realised it was there and had the embarrassing tape surgically removed.
I'm the Danny Hiram in New York, you scared to mention. I spent my cash on looking flash and grabbing your attention. The devil takes your stereo and your record collection. The way you look to qualify for next year's old extension. Clumsy boots, peekaboo roots that people think so, yes. So what's the point of robbery when nothing is worth taking? It's kind of tough to tell a squat the big mistake is making. Stand and deliver.
Fact, Ant from PJ and Duncan was named after Adam Ant as he was conceived whilst his parents, Mr. and Mrs. PJ and Duncan, were making love to Adam Ant's first comeback record, Apollo 9. Ant is now 10 years old and is himself now enjoying a brief pop career.
We're the Danny Homan, so tired of excuses. Of giving in philosophies where only showbiz loses. We're the Danny Homan and here's our invitation. Play us at the other boys and join our insect nation. Stand and deliver.
And the news today is that John Major's in big trouble for having sex with an old woman.
Explain the story properly. He didn't have sex with an old woman. He had sex with someone who was 30 when he was 20, but the newspapers have deliberately put pictures of her looking about 60, so he looks mad. That's what they've done.
What, she was once young, and now she's old.
Yeah.
And he had sex with her and she was young.
That's right.
Well, I read on page 5 of The Sun that Tony Blair is in regularly having sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Good God, no.
It's disgusting. Well, no, I say that, it's his wife, Sherry Blair, whatever her name is.
But she was 12.
She was 12 once. He didn't have sex with her then, obviously. I read on
page 9 of The Sun that you've been seen undressing an 11-year-old boy, Rich.
Well, I'd rather not talk about that on
the radio. When you're 11, you're undressed yourself. That is the same, you see.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought you meant. Right, anyway, there's no Roger Mann this week.
No.
But we have got a spooky section. We've called it, after my favourite film, Tales That Witness Madness.
Yeah, if you never saw that, it was a 60s film with lots of, like, different stories, which were linked together with the contrived link of Donald Pleasance's face. there was one in which Ian Ogilvie went through time on a bike. Joan Collins was sexually assaulted by a tree.
It was very exciting. And this week's Tales That Witness Madness... Such a bad word film, its name, isn't it? You can't even say it. Tales That Witness Madness. What a great idea for a film. This one it concerns coincidence.
That's right.
Because there's nothing more frightening on this earth, is there, when you find out that your brother's friend has the same birthday as your wife's brother's cousin.
That's right.
No.
And this is the true story of coincidence, right, which this happened in the 19th century in Argentina on a train to Buenos Aires, and we've reconstructed it from the travel diaries of the Victorian explorer Hector Spankfield.
Sir, permit me to speak. You're clearly an English gentleman, as am I. Our journey is long, and as we find ourselves compartmented alone in the same carriage, I suggest we strike up in conversation. My name is Spankfield, Mr. Spankfield. What is yours?
By heaven's light! Spankfield is by no means a common name, even on an English shore. And yet, sirrah, 'tis my name awell.
And fate, the lusty whore, has brought us together. You know, we must flout the laws of manners and best address one another by our first names, Mr. Spankfield. I was christened Hector.
Hector?
Yes.
Hector Spankfield?
Yes, that's it.
By the hymnals, we'd best think of another solution to our conundrum, Mr. Spankfield. For Hector Spankfield is my name also.
My Prince Albert's face. You jest, Mr. Spankfield, surely.
No, it is as true and real as my ridiculous sideburns along.
Well, wait until I tell my wife Lottie about this, Mr. Spankfield.
God's hair.
What?
I can scarce believe my Victorian ear.
Why?
Lottie is the baptismal name of my wedded spouse, a wee. But alas,
what?
Mr. Spankfield, my poor Lottie is an invalid. Confined to a bath chair.
Well, hurrah and huzzah, Mr. Spankfield, so is mine.
How good.
Yes.
What a fine pair of fellows are we.
Yes.
Have Lottie and your goodly self sired any offspring, Mr. Spankfield?
Why, indeed we have, Mr. Spankfield. From Lottie's womb have slithered a boy and a girl child by the names of Twecky and Lenkmeme.
By Florence Nightingale's sensible pants, Twecky and Lenkmeme are the names of my little catamites also.
No.
And yet, slap my jowls with your fob if I did not make up those names out of a collection of random letters in order to thwart social convention and make my children look like idiots.
By my ass, Mr. Spankfield, so did I. Wait until my fellows and neighbourmen in the leafless borough of Fulham in London town hear of these similitudes.
By baby Jesus's holy bib, Mr. Spankfield.
What?
I reside in Fulham too.
No.
Upon the New King's Road.
By Queen Victoria's bra, Mr. Spankfield, Lottie and I rent apartments on that very thoroughfare also. You'll be telling me you live at number 19 next, like I do.
Mr. Spankfield, we do.
No.
Yes.
You and your wife live in the very same flat as my wife and I.
Yes.
Well, I'm surprised we've never met before.
We are alike as Ping and Poo, the world-famous Siamese freaks.
Fate's stinking finger could find no finer friends than we.
And tell me, Mr. Spankfield, are you gay?
I beg your pardon, I most certainly am not. What in God's realms of reason makes you ask such a question of a Victorian man?
Nothing. Neither am I, obviously. But have you never wondered what it would be like to lay you down with one so similar to yourself in every way?
No, Mr. Spankfield, I haven't. Leave me alone. You're strange.
Oh, come now, Mr. Spankfield. I know that you're just a little bit curious.
No! Now, it is a long way to Buenos Aires, Mr. Spankfield, and I suggest we both read our newspapers quietly and keep on our own side of the carriage.
But, Mr. Spankfield, you forget. I know where you live.
No! What? Your face! It's my face! My face!
Lee and Herring, a veritable river of irreverent, light-hearted whimsy.
Thanks to Simon Davis for that jingle there.
Yeah, and do keep your calls coming in. There isn't much time now, but who cares? And we've got listings for us now with Kevin Eldon and Sally Phillips. So what you got for us this week, Sal?
Well, we've got Dark Hair Disco Dancing Day. There's an unusual event at Whipsnade Zoo this Monday. Spectators will be able to look down into a pit full of dark-haired people, all dancing to a randomly selected programme of disco music, played at a volume slightly too low for them to be able to discern the rhythms clearly. The event will be filmed for BBC Two.
And have you ever wondered what it would be like to see different solid objects come into contact at high velocity with the face of comedy straight man and British playwright Patrick Marber? Well, find out on Islington Green this Thursday afternoon. Patrick will place his grumpy face at the end of a 100-foot-long cannon from which various objects will be shot into the British playwright's face. How will Patrick Marber's playwright face cope, for example, with a 200-mile-an-hour assault from a ripe peach? How will the curmudgeon's scowling face react when it collides with a football-sized clump of the rough fabric of a potato sack? Or with a 300-pound titanium steel anvil? Or some acid? The event is free and has been paid for by two mystery benefactors.
Perkin Warbeck Fair. There's a fair to celebrate the life and work of pretender to the throne of Henry VII, Perkin Warbeck, who claimed to be one of the dead princes in the Tower. It'll be held in Westbury-on-Trim near Bristol tomorrow. Events will include a contemporary dance representation of his life, over two stalls selling some Perkin Warbeck-related items, and a competition to see who can do the best impression of Richard, Duke of York. In tribute to Warbeck, the winner shall be hanged by the neck at 3 p.m. until they be dead. The fancy dress death will trigger the exploding of a lone firework in the shape of Perkin Warbeck's laughing face.
Like it. And finally, are you a fan of the satire of Channel 4 satirist Rory Bremner? Then why not come along to a Rory Bremner evening where you're invited to choose an advert or TV programme and replace the main character with John Majors and then just say what John Majors does. Imagine what John Majors might say about Northern Ireland if he was in the Wash and Go advert. What would John Majors' amusing face be like if he were to replace Nick Ross in Crime Watch and report on how the Tories have stolen all our jobs? Say your challenging sketch to loads of other people who all agree with you anyway, and then go ah at the end. All at Nantwich Town Hall on Friday.
Thanks very much, guys. Great listings. Loved them. Mm. We've got Owen Thomas on the line with a crap sitcom. Hi, Owen.
Hiya.
How's it going? All right? I like your Last of the Summer Wine sketch you sent in, by the way.
Oh,
I know all my fans personally. And what's your crap sitcom?
Well, I actually had two, but I think the one's a little graphic, so I'll have to stick with the other one.
Okay, go on then.
Well, I actually have one called Bread.
Yeah.
Like the hilarious comedy adventures of a loaf of bread.
Nice idea.
That's pretty good.
That's all right.
That'd be very nice.
Yeah, I think we've got, goodbye, Owen. I think we've got a Paul Greenham on the phone with a bad sitcom as well. Hello, Paul.
Hello there.
What is your rubbish sitcom?
Right, believe it or not, it's actually called Guns and Roses.
Oh, yeah? What is that about, then?
Well, actually, it's about the owners of a gun store and a florist who, amazingly enough by coincidence, are right next door to each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the many amusing and funny adventures they have stealing customers from each other.
Do you see Windsor Davis playing a part in that one? Could be.
Well, very possibly it's the Brass Sergeant Major who owns the gun store.
Well, it's Axel Rose. Good. Thanks a lot, Paul. So we'll have to find out a winner later on, and we're going to tell you who's won after this.
Portrait of a Hero, Bomber Harris, Part 3. World War II, a time of shame for Bomber Harris, which is best glossed over and ignored. His use of bombs in wartime has come to be considered outrageous and offended all right-thinking liberals. But with the war over, Bomber, shunned by the society who once loved him, could find no higher position than the caretaker at a newly built shopping centre.
Oh, Mr. Harris, I notice a car in the multi-story car park has left its headlights on. It's
Don't you worry about that. Squadron attack! Yes, the headlights now off, I think you'll find. Yes, and have the shopping centre, twisted cars and bodies, built into a huge statue of my laughing face.
It's good to have you back, Bomber.
Yeah.
the life of Bomber Harris there. And as far as we're concerned, the winner of the rubbish sitcom thing tonight was Back of the Queue, John Walker. That's
well
what
done,
we like.
Johnny.
Leave something in the post.
Send you something, that'll be good. And remember, we will send stuff to all the people who've won the competitions before and previous weeks. We just haven't got round to it.
But we will do in the end.
We probably wouldn't be bothered.
What we're listening to now, this is The Cocktails, and you can just hear this bloke playing a sax solo now, Hal Russell. He had to meet his wife in the car outside, so he rushed it. Here you are.
Yeah. You can tell, can't you? He's going very quickly with that.
True.
Yeah. Unfortunately died a month later as
what
well.
What a shame.
Tom Johnson would have done a cartoon about him, had he been a bit more
playing a wild jazz solo in heaven.
Never mind. So remember, things we want you to send in this week are passport photos of yourself, your friends, your pets, anything, amusing passport photos, as many as you've got. Any of your Tom Johnson predictions. Maybe OJ Simpson will come into it. I don't know. I'm just guessing. For our TV gallery, which will also be a moving art gallery around the country and possibly in a book as well. Of course, get your two votes in by Thursday.
For top tubes. You've
got a lot of votes to beat that toffee one.
And don't forget our address for all that stuff, which is Lee and Herring, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A1AA.
Listen to his speeding saxophone, too. Very exciting. And today you have been listening to Stuart Lee quite a lot of mistakes. Richard Herring doing very badly. Peter, Kevin Eldon, Sally Phillips doing very well. Rebecca Front on tape, Alistair McGowan on tape. Your own tapes that you're sending. Send in more of those, because it's the last show next week, and we're running out of ideas.
And the producer tonight was Chris Neal.
Was it Chris Neal? Got a quick drug tip for us, Pete, one before we go?
Yeah, very quick. We need to simulate the drug of ecstasy by drawing a face on an extra strong mint and eating it.
Yeah.
And then going around to see somebody that you really love to create the effect of really loving somebody. I usually use my brother Charlie.
Okay, good. Don't take real drugs. Take those false drugs. They're much better for you.
Yeah.
And,
you may have heard everyone saying Radio 1 is rubbish. Now, don't play the mass show to prove that it isn't. instead, listen to the next one, because it's fantastic. It's hosted by the radio genius, the inimitable Mark Radcliffe.
Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffun.net.